Okay, Perek Chav Pasuk Samach Vayivole Li Aaron, was born to Aaron, Es Nadav Yesaviu, Es Elozav Yesisam. So Aaron had four children, four kindlach. Nadav Aviu, Elozav Yisamar. Vayomos, Nadav Aviu. They died. When did they die? Back Yivam Esau Lefnei Hashem. When they offered Esau Lefnei Hashem. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk says, Vayu fiku dehem shloisha v'yeshem elef kol zochem. Now the children, their numbers. The numbers of who? The numbers seemingly of Aaron. Aaron's children. Aaron is, I guess, Elazar v'yisamah. Vayu fiku dehem shloisha v'yeshem elef. 23, it's a pasuk samach base. Perek chavav 62. Vayu fiku dehem, the numbers were, Shloisha v'yeh shemelef, 23,000. Kol zochem minan chodesh mal, every male adult from 1 month and older. Kiloi haspatu, they were not counted, b'soch v'nei yishol. Kiloi nidil hamnachla, b'soch v'nei yishol. Now there are two very striking things that stand out in this pasuk. Number one, it tells us, I mean, one is the obvious, is that they were not part of the counting of all of the tribes. And that is why now they are being counted for the very first time, because in the beginning of the parasha, in the beginning of Pinchas, until this point in time, we have been counting the numbers of the tribe of all of Klal Yisrael. Who did we leave out? We left out Shevet Levi. Levi was not included in the counting of Klal Yisrael in the census. Now we're coming to count. We're coming to count them for the very first time. Okay. Now, when Klal Yisrael was counted, who was counted? Only those from 20 years and above. And now, when we're counting Levi's children, and specifically here we're counting Aaron's children, we're counting them from 1 month and above. Why are we not consistent? Why don't we count them also from 20 years and above? So it says, 23,000, only from every Zohar from a month and above. Kiloi haspatu, they were not counted, why not? The Torah tells you why they were not counted. We only counted those people who got a nachala b'seich b'nei Yisrael. Let us see the holy words of Rashi. Rashi, ki lo yaspuk b'seich b'nei Yisrael, yes, ninim b'nei eshem shana. They were not counted amongst those that were 20 years and older. U'matam, ki lo yimitim lehem nachala. Ve'hanim nin b'ben eshem shana hoyu b'nei nachala. Shenemar ish l'fi fukudav yuta nachala say. The counting of 20 years and above was for the purpose of inheritance. Therefore, if you were not going to go get the nachla, you were not counted. So therefore, that's why they were not counted. They get no nachla. The Bnei Levi get no nachla in Eretz Yisrael. And now, we're going to count them separately. What does the Targum say? Pasuk Samach Beis. Samach Beis in the Targum says, V'havo min yonichon asrin uselasa alfin. 23,000. Now, before we go further, look at this Targum. Notice the Targum, it puts the larger number before the smaller number. This is a whole topic of discussion which is way over my head. It's way too complicated for me to understand the rules of numbers. In Hebrew, Aramaic, when a number is zochar, when it's nekeva, if it's a digit, it's zochar, then it's when it's in the decimal, it's nekeva. This is very, very, very confusing in Lashon HaKodesh. And when you want to go start translating this into Aramaic, wow, you're really going to get lost in a whole complicated set of rules, which you need to have a certain mind for, which I do not have, unfortunately. Now, who is calling me on the phone? Who is calling me on the phone? Okay, I cannot talk to her now. Okay, fine. Let's see. Let it. Okay. So now it says over here, Vavod min yonon asrin utlosin. So it says over here in the time it says 23. It says asrin. Asrin is the larger number. And then it says usulasa. In the Hebrew, in the pasuk, it says, first it says shloisha, and then it says v'yesrin. Fine. Ula, then it goes on to say, kol duchra, all of the males. Dibar yarcha, 1 month, ula ila. Are lo is minu, they were not counted begoy b'nei Yisrael. Are because lo is yehevas, it was not given lohoin to them ach sana an inheritance begoy b'nei Yisrael. Let's see, and there is no commentary on this, so we go further. Pasik chaf gimel samach gimel. Pasik samach gimel says Eile Pikude Moshe Ve'elazar HaKohen. The following are the numbers of Moshe. Of Moshe, the Elazar HaKohen and Elazar HaKohen, Asher, Pakidu, who counted as Bnei Yisrael, the Arvos Moav, Al Yarden Yerecha. This is very, very interesting, this pasuk. Because this pasuk is where Moshe is paired, possibly for the very first time, with a new counterpart. Moshe, throughout the entire Torah, it's always Moshe the Aaron. Aaron and Moshe. Sometimes it says Moshe first, sometimes it says Aaron first. But it's always Moshe the Aaron, Aaron and Moshe. In some of the old Sfarim, I don't see this. Maybe Meir probably is much more into this, can find this for us. On the Shar Blat, I once read this in the Oitzer Plois. In the Oitzer Plois, it says that if you go look at some of the old Sfarim, they have a Shar Blat. And the Shar Blat, they have lions, the first half of the Gemara. They have like a big, big fancy gate. And they have lions on top. So it seems in the olden days, they put on the Shar Blat, in that picture, two people. One person was very tall and thin. And another person, an image, was a person that was very short and wide. And he writes there in the shot in the Oitzer Plois that the tall and thin person was who? Moshe Rabbeinu. And the short, wide fellow was Aaron HaKohen. There was always on the front cover of all of the old Shar Blats a diagram representing Moshe and Aaron. Because Moshe and Aaron appear all over the Torah. Here, for the first time, ladies and gentlemen, let us welcome for the very first time Moshe and Elazar. Aaron died. Aaron died last week. He went up to the Horahar and he died. And who was his replacement? Elazar. No, Aaron died. Elazar. Elazar replaced him. Elazar Benoit. So here in this pasuk, this is a very, I cannot emphasize enough, the uniqueness of this pasuk. This pasuk really, it jumps off the page. Eile Pikudei, the following is the numbers that have been calculated by whom? By Moshe, the Elazar HaKohen. Under ordinary circumstances, it would have said, by Moshe, the Aaron HaKohen. If Moshe would not have hit the rock, he would have spoken to the rock, then this pasuk would read, Eile Pikudei Moshe V'Aaron HaKohen. But Aaron died. And when he died, we needed a replacement. Who was his replacement? His son, Elazar. And notice, not Nadav, and not Avihu, and not Isamar, Elazar. Isn't it strange how Masha Yase Hazman Lo Yase Hasechel? What do I mean by that? If Aaron would not have done an Avera, it would have said here in the Pasuk, Eile Pikudei Moshe V'Aaron. Okay? Not everyone's a tzaddik in this world. Ein tzaddik ba'oretz asher yase toy v'lo yechata. Aaron sins. So what happened to Aaron? Off, he's out. So who's going to take his place? He has four children. Who's his oldest child? Nadav. Where's Nadav? He's dead. Why is he dead? He brought an Eish Zara. Okay, who's the next son? Avihu. Where is he? He's also dead. Who's next? Elazar. So three things had to happen over here that not according to plan, to produce this result. Eile Pikudei Moshe Ve'Elazar HaKohen. Elazar and not Aaron. Elazar and not Nadav. Elazar and not Avihu. Who's next in line? Elazar. Moshe and Elazar. Life goes on. Life goes on. It's an interesting idea. It's an interesting concept. Like, you know, sometimes you think that if a person is not here, okay, it's over. And you know, it's like different. You know, it's you know, that's it. You know, whatever. No, everything goes on. We just have a new person who replaces the position. It's Moshe, and now instead of Aaron, it's not going to be Aaron because he died because he didn't have Era. It's not going to be Nadav Aviu. So the next in line was Elazar. Elazar v'Samar. Elazar. Okay. Asher Pakadu Israel and Moshe Rabbeinu, he had to have respect for him. This is Moshe's nephew. Until now, it was his older brother. And now Moshe, for the first time, is joining forces to do a job with someone much younger than him. Now they say this. This is one of the most famous things they said are of Moshe Scherer. It's probably the most famous thing that they know. This year was his 25th anniversary. It was like yesterday. I remember like mamish like yesterday when he died. Now it's like 20. I can't believe it's 25 year anniversary of Moshe Scherer. And they say this is by far. They wrote a whole book, 700 pages. It's a great book. I read the whole book. It's a great book. Many years ago. And they have 700 pages, but there's one thing that you can hear it all the time. And they say that when Moshe Scherer started off, he was probably like 25 years old. He was a very young man. When he was enlisted to serve for the Aguda as a secretary, he wanted to quit many times. Many times he tried. Mamas tried to quit because they didn't pay him. He couldn't make a living. I don't remember all the details. Okay, so when he started, he was like 25 years old. And he dealt with the Gedolei Yisrael, who were the age of his grandparents. The ones that he dealt with, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Kamenetsky, Rav Aaron Kotler, at that time they were probably 60, 70, 80, Chreis. He dealt with Zekanim, Mamash Zekanim. He's 25 years old, he's dealing with Zekanim. So he was very scared of them. Then as he got older, and the Gedolim died, and new Gedolim took their place, how old were they? At some point, they were his age. He was the balabas, he was the secretary, running the show, and who was he talking to the whole day on the phone? People, gedolim, who are his age. And then as he got older, those gedolim also passed on and died, and he lived. And who are the replacements? People that were the age of his children. So here he is, Rav Scherer, he's probably in his 70s, whatever, and he's dealing over here with 40-year-olds, with 35-year-olds. How do they become members of the Moetzes? I don't know. The Yarshinit, I don't know. They have a position in the yeshiva. There's no one else. So he was dealing, negotiating with Gedolim, who were really the age of his children, maybe even younger. And the Shevach, the praise that they always write about him in all these newspaper articles is, he treated the Gedolim with the same reverence when they were the age of his grandparents, his own age, and even the end of his life, the age of his children. He had the same respect and reverence for the members of the Moetzes Gedolei Yisrael. That's the way they patterned their the structure of the Aguda used to be. I don't know if it still is. It used to be. That's how they differentiated themselves from other organizations, is that every decision is made by the Moetzes Gedolei Yisrael. Other organizations, Gedolim, Rabbanim, were consultants. And their Balabatim would make decisions. The Aguda, in the olden days, the ones that make the decisions are the Gedolim, and the Balabatim, they just do the work. I don't know if that's the way it works today. Okay? I don't think today it works. It's like, I think today the Balabata make the decision. They would kill me for saying that. But let's be honest. I went to two of their conventions. I saw what goes on the inside. A little bit.
Weinman.
By who?
That's first name. Weinman. I think I once showed you the book.
What book?
It's called from in Hebrew, from Katowice to Jerusalem. I don't know what it is. It's a this guy Hadassah. Okay, what's important? Anyway, Weinman was the PR guy for Rabbi Eliashiv in the case of the Mamzerim.
Yeah.
Against Gora. So he wrote a book about the history of Aguda. It's called From Katowice, which is the first.
No, that's a different Aguda. That Aguda you're talking about is the Aguda in Europe, in Poland, the Chleis. We're talking about Aguda of America. Let's not confuse.
Anyway, what he writes.
Aguda of America is a whole different Aguda.
He said, listen to me, he says in a statement that it's obvious and it's a fact that the Aguda Balabatim were the ones who wagged the tail of the Bison Padilla Tyra.
What, controlled? Control them? What do you mean, what do you mean,
wagged them? Told them what they want to do. Told them what they want to do.
Listen. First of all, you're talking about a different
and
Aguda.
You're talking about
a different Aguda.
The easiest proof of that.
Yeah.
And I'll show you the proof of that.
Yeah.
One is the Balfour Declaration.
Yeah.
Aguda in principle was against the
Balfour. They weren't. There was a machlokes. My grandfather was for it. There was a big machlokes there. There were two different camps.
But
my great grandfather was for it.
But Aguda didn't have a choice. They had a following.
Okay.
Not because of Rabbanim, because of the Abacha.
The whole thing was mute
okay.
When the war broke out.
Is what you're saying, Sierra did not want to get into the fight with the Abacha. And he told Aguda that it's real.
He'll stay out of it. You'll end up in the military. He's not getting involved in it. It's not a sheer. It's not a sheer of Aguda. And a lot of people know that a lot of what Sherrod did was to make sure that the good American should not fall into say Mazel and Lot for having Eric Shaw. The good American Shaw was came to an end pretty much, for real. And Sherrod worked his head off that the good of America shouldn't suffer the same fate of what happened
right.
To the good of Eric Shaw.
The same guy who destroyed I'm Israel with
the all right, let's not talk Lashon Hara on Shavuos B'Tammuz. I know the whole, all the stories. I may even agree with you, but let's not talk about this now.
The only way we can do tshuva and continue is when we admit the truth and mischarit al over mekabel al
Mayor, if someone would give you $1 million to go right now, free ticket, $1 million, and all and 5-star hotel accommodations to go to Rav Shach's Kever, would you go?
You would give me to go there?
Yeah.
What would I do there?
You have to say one kapitel of Tehillim by Rav Shach's Kever.
I'll say kapitel, and then after
what
I might say,
Shemer
Shah Mirko, you know?
Oh, no, hey. Blaze, you see what's going on over here? Mayor's very funny.
You
let's go
back. We're talking about one word? Do you realize we're talking about one word?
Shach.
No, La'alacha.
All right, listen.
All that is
knowledge of
what is that in the Lord say,
Miu Yehudi Ka'alacha. Yehudi Ka'alacha. All right, this is so much
that
stuff.
That would
this.
Be a difference. But because of the stubbornness I don't think so. Absolutely. Okay.
All right. It's definitely very interesting. I'm not gonna deny that. It's fascinating. But let's go weiter. Right now we're here. Right now, I think there's something over here to be really. I mean this very seriously. To be really appreciated, what it says in this pasuk. Eile pekudei Moshe ve'elozor hakohen. Moshe Rabbeinu. This also is a revelation of Moshe's humility, that Moshe worked together with a person who was much younger than him. Moshe until now worked with his brother. His brother was older. And Moshe didn't want, Moshe, we learn over and over, he said, I don't want to step on my brother's toes. I ran away as a fugitive for 40 years, for 40 years. And who was the manik during that time? Amram and then Aaron. So Moshe says, I'm not going to come step on his toes. He's the manik. What do you want from me? So Hashem says, no. I want you to come, and don't worry. Aaron, when he sees you, he's going to come out. He's going to kiss you. He's going to want you to take over. Don't worry about it. And Moshe showed Aaron the greatest respect for 40 years. And now Aaron dies. So Moshe can say, okay, he's gone. I'm in charge. I'll do everything. Step aside. I'm the big balabas. I know, I can tell you an example of this. I saw my own eyes. There were two people who ran a show. And then one of them stopped coming. Not because he died, because whatever, he went away somewhere. And the other person was so happy to get rid of him. And he took over with the kifos, and it was no good. It really was no good, because he was let loose. As long as the other guy was there, you know, he held back. And when that guy left, he took over, ran the show. I didn't like it. It was no good. I don't, whatever, none of my business. But, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu can say, hey, listen, Aaron's gone. I'm the boss. I'm 120 years old now. I'm not going to be around much longer. In the meantime, I'm in charge. And no, look what it says here. Our Moshe, he brings in Aaron's son as a replacement to be Malon Mekoimai. It's unbelievable. To be Malon Mekoimai. And this also only fuels the next section of this parasha, which we're not going to get to, is when Moshe says to Hashem, I now want my children to take over for me. In the next parasha, the Benos Lafchad, they were not supposed to get a chelik in the land, and they said, we want a chelik, and they got a chelik. So, oh, look at that. If they got a chelik, so my children also should take over my shtel. Look, didn't Elazar take over for Aaron, his own son? I gave it to him. I went, he took over his Malon Mekoimai, you know, and I worked with him. So don't you think that it's only right that my children should take over for me? So it will be now, who's Moshe's children? Gershon, right? Gershon, and also there was Elazar. We have over here two Elazars. There would have been two Elazars. Didn't Moshe have a son Elazar? Gershon, and no, Eliezer, with the Yud. Gershon, will be Elazar and Eliezer. Elazar ben Aaron and Eliezer ben Moshe. They would be the two Manhigim. Or it would be Gershon. I don't know which one came first. Gershon and Eliezer. No, Hashem said no, it's going to be Yoshua. It's going to be Yoshua, and it's going to be like Elazar. So it's an amazing thing that Moshe Rabbeinu, he went and he took under his wings a person that was much younger than him, and he treated him, from the Pasuk at Smashma, with the same respect he had for his father, Aaron. It's an important Pasuk to really, you know, it just stands out. To me, it is, there's a lot of value in this Pasuk, a lot of powerful things in this Pasuk. Eile Pikudei, the following is the number, the tally. The tally that was achieved by Moshe the Elazar HaKoyein. Elazar, not Aaron, and not another of Aviv, because they all died. They died before their time. Asher, it's a very painful pasuk. You're right away mentioning over here a lot of tzar, a lot of pain in this, there's a lot of pain in this pasuk. Because those people, they died way before their time. And it would have been a different Klal Yisrael had they not died. Elazar HaKoyein Asher Paktu, they counted, they went and they counted, as Bnei Yisrael Ba'arvois Mayov Al Yardin Yurecha. An amazing pasuk. Samach, there is no Rashi. Isn't it amazing? There's no Rashi on this pasuk. You know, the best psukim, by the way, have no Rashi. When the pasuk says it all, you don't need a Rashi. The best psukim in the Torah are the ones. Interesting, you make a chumash, maybe you do make a project. Just write a parasha, write a chumash, and only have in the chumash the psukim that have no Rashi. No Rashi. Go through every parasha and just have the pasuk with no Rashi. And try to read it and see how it flows, how the text flows when you read only the psukim without, they have no Rashi. I wonder what it would say. It would probably present a very interesting story in the Torah if you would only read the Psukim. because the psukim that have Rashi means, you know, you have to need some bayer. All right, Pasuk Samach Dalit says, "Ve'elu lohoye ish mipikudei Moshe v'Yaron hakoyin asher paktu es bnei Yisrael b'Midbar Sinai." And from these, lohoye ish. What does that mean? There was no ish mipikudei Moshe v'Yaron. So here it says again, "Nochamal Moshe v'Yaron hakoyin asher paktu es bnei Yisrael b'Midbar Sinai." In other words, what is this thing over here? Is every single person that was listed in this list is a different person from the original census. The original census was done by whom? Moshe the Aaron. And this census is being done by Moshe the Elazar. It's a different census. Why? And it's saying that there's no overlap because everyone from the first census is no longer here. They died. Why did they die? Because of the Chedo Egel and the Chedo Meraglim. Now let's see Rashi. Samach Dal Ve'elu Lo HaYish Aval Al HaNoshim. So Rashi points out that even though, you know, we're only counting men from 20 years and above, but when Moshe, but there are women, there are women who remain alive. Aval Al HaNoshim Lo Nigzru Gzeres HaMeraglim Lufi Shehein Hayu Mechadabois Esaretz. They love the land. Wow. This is an amazing thing, especially when you read this Rashi, Erev, Shavasa B'Tamos. The man said, let's appoint the leader of Noshuva Mitzrayim. And what do the women say? The women are represented the sentiment of all of the Noshim, B'nois Tzlofchot. Tenu lanu achuza. Rashi here is the mechadish, tremendous chiddush, is that the daughters of Tzlofchad weren't just speaking as private citizens. The daughters of Tzlofchad captured the sentiment of all of the Jewish women. You couldn't say this without a Rashi. If someone come along and say such a statement that b'no Tzlofchad. When they said, "Tenu lanu achuza," give us an achuza. So you'd say they were individual. There were five women. You would say, you know, they weren't married. They were older. They were like 80 years old, I think. So they're very bitter. They never got married. Shidduch crisis. They're bitter. So they want some money. They want assets. Do they represent the whole Klal Yisrael? By the way, after this, they got married. Man, why did they get married? Because they were rich. They got land. People wanted to marry them for the money. Okay, they got married afterwards. They did get married. The B'nai Slavchot. But this, so you would say, yeah, they want to get, they want land because they have, what else do they have in life? They don't have a husband. They don't have children. So they want money. They want land. Their desire for land, does that represent all of the women in Klal Yisrael? Maybe all the women, they don't care. They don't care about land. They don't want to go work the land. They just, whatever. They're happy. They're married. They're children, whatever. It is what it is. Who says that the statement of B'nai Slavchot represents a feeling, an attitude that represents the entire Klal Yisrael? I could never say such a thing. But Rashi says that. And how did Rashi know? I don't know. How did Rashi know that? Rashi says, Aval Anashim lo nigzru gzeres hameraglim lefi shehein hayu mechabos esaretz. Ha'anashim ayimim t'minu l'rosh n'nushu mitzrayim V'hanoshim oimrois t'no lanu achuza. Wait a minute. T'no lanu achuza was not said by all the women. It was said by five women. Five women. There must have been at least 600,000 women. So you tell me what five women says represents 600,000 women? Well, Rashi seems to say, yeah. L'kach nismecha parashas b'nei slofcha l'kan. Unbelievable. So this pasuk over here, pasuk samach dalet, it talks about the Pekudei Moshe V'Aaron, we match up against the Pekudei Moshe and Elazar. Amazing. And rather, the Pasuk says there's not even one person from the Pekudei of Moshe V'Aaron that was still alive at the time of the Pekudei Moshe of Moshe V'Elazar. Now, wait a minute. How could that be? What about Moshe himself? And what about Elazar? Moshe and Elazar were alive in the first counting and the second counting. How do you explain that? Number two, there's a very famous Chazal that says that the last 15, approximately 15 and a half thousand people, Hashem forgave. There were 600,000 men at the time of Bechero Ega and Bechero Raglan. And Hashem says, you're all going to die. And every Tisha B'Av, they dug a grave and they lie down. And not everyone woke up. Meir wants to know who closed their grave. He asked me this, who closed their graves? Not everyone woke up. So those who woke up the next morning, they woke up and they walked away. And whoever didn't wake up was dead. But someone had to go and cover the grave. Who covered the grave? I guess the living people covered the grave. And this happened every single year for the next 40 years. Every single year on Tisha B'Av, every man lied down in the grave. They said goodbye to the family. They did not know if they're going to wake up the next day. Isn't that scary? Every single year, it's a Pella. Could you imagine such a thing? Every single year on Tisha B'Av, you dig a grave. Erev Tisha B'Av, you dig a grave. And you say goodbye, you put on tachlichen, and you say goodbye to your family. I might not see you anymore. I'm going to lie down. And you say goodbye to your wife and your children. You lie down in the desert. Every single man who was alive at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then the neck, can you imagine that night? The children and the wives, is my husband, is my father going to come home tomorrow? And approximately 15,500 men did not return home the next day. Unbelievable. What kind of life was that in the desert? That's really scary stuff. It's a whole different life. When you live a life like that, when you know that the most you got, that every year you're going to be tested, you're going to lie down in the grave, can you imagine what kind of life that is? Every single day you're going to make the most out of it. There's going to be no wasting time. It's a shocking existence. Think about it. It's like really? It's amazing. So the last year, there's only 15,000 people left to go, the very last year of the desert. So what do they do?
Rabbi. So for 38 years, they didn't move, no place. They were staying from one place.
No, they moved. They traveled.
But it doesn't describe. It just says in the beginning and then.
I'm sorry?
For a long time, they were in one spot.
They were, right. I don't know. Yeah, right. So there's a Rashi that tells us that most of the time they stayed in one place. But there were periodic, there were places when they didn't move. There is such a Rashi. Rashi says, there were 42 journeys.
Yes.
Now, most of those journeys took place in a very short time.
Yeah, which means that
most of the middle, they just stayed put in one place.
Yeah, so there would be, what I'm saying, is
there a big cemetery. If they stayed put in one place for many, many years, let's say for 35 years, so there should be somewhere in the desert a cemetery that has almost 600,000 people.
Yeah.
Where is it? Where is the cemetery? Where in Saudi Arabia is the cemetery if they journeyed for 4 years?
Years ago, I was in the Sinai Desert after the Six-Day War.
Yeah.
And we traveled for hours among the dunes.
Yeah.
And in certain places, it smelled of dead bodies.
Yeah.
But you didn't see anything.
But that's 3,000 years ago. There's no way there's going to be any smell left from 3,000 years ago. No way. 3,000.
Right. I tell you that the dunes covered everything.
Okay, but with satellite images, are there any bone remnants left? Can bones survive for 3,000 years? Maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Bones also
have
something.
Maybe we have to write a book about the spoils of Mitzrayim.
At some point in
maybe
time.
Maybe he buried themselves with, rings, or who knows.
At some point in time, the bones, no, Lechoy didn't bury with anything. At some point in time, bones also turn into dust. There's also a limit to how long bones can last for a very, very long time. But at some point in time, under certain conditions, bones also, the Mishnah says, Rekev Shalat Samas, bones also at some, with certain conditions, can turn into dust. Does it depend if it's a shallow grave, it's a deep grave, it's buried in no humidity? I have no idea. But Rav Lazer is saying very good, that if 600,000 were in the desert, So there must be somewhere in the desert a graveyard that has approximately 600,000 bodies. Right? Where is it? I don't know. But here's my question. Chazal say that the last year, the last 15,000 people lie down in the grave. And guess what? They woke up the next day. Impossible. So what do? They lie down and we must make a mistake in the calendar. So they went to sleep again. And they did this until Tu B'Av. Until Tu B'Av. And on Tu B'Av, they look at the moon. The moon is a full moon. There's no way that it's not past the ninth day of Av. So how come we're still alive? We're the last 15,000 people that were alive at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. How come we're still alive on Tu B'Av? It must be that Hashem has forgiven us and has let us live. And they made that day into a day of celebration. That's one of the five reasons why we do not say Tachnun on Tu B'Av. It's because they came to a realization that these last 15,000 people, Hashem forgave them. And they didn't die. So that's one of the reasons why it's a day of celebration, Tu B'Av. So my question is, that Medrash appears to contradict what it says here in this Pasuk. Because this Pasuk says, V'lo ha-yo-ish. It says here in the Pasuk, Uva'ele, amongst the counting of Aroin, of Moshe and Elazar, which was a census that took place 40 years later, approximately, Lo ha-yo-ish, mi-pikudei Moshe v'Aroin.
When was the counting? How many days after Tisha B'Av?
What do you mean after Tisha B'Av? Moshe's still alive.
When was the counting?
The count? I don't know when the counting was. I don't know. The beginning of the Pasha.
It had to be after Tisha, after Tu B'Av, right?
Fine. Whenever it was, fine. So let's say it was after, fine. Whenever it was.
But, okay.
So that means there were 15,000 people.
They could have died naturally between Tu B'Av and the counting.
They could have died naturally?
Right. Between Tu B'Av and the counting.
L'chaira, if they survived, I'm making an assumption, which I think is a fair assumption. If they survived until Tu B'Av, they survived to enter into Eretz Yisrael to outlive Moshe.
Who says? Absolutely not. Doesn't say.
So Hashem forgave them. Hashem forgave them for a couple of days. He let them live a couple of more days. You're saying is that
that the Chalukah? There were two gyros, right? One was there before they went into Eretz Yisrael.
No, there's only one gyro. No, there's only one gyro. There was only one gyro. What are you talking about? Two gyros. There's only one gyro.
Where was the gyro before they were
counted? No, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, there was only one gyro. When they came into Eretz Yisrael, was the only gyro. When they came into Eretz Yisrael, the gyro was 14 years. 14 years after they came into Eretz Yisrael, 7 years of Melchama and 7 years of Chalukah.
So you're telling me no one died? None of the original died during those 17 years?
No.
Of course they died.
This pasuk is not discussing the Goyro. This pasuk is discussing the census. The census was made before those 14 years. It was made in the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Right. Okay. But let's do it my way. You agree to me that when they made the girl, some of the people who left the Midbar died?
Let's say they all died. Let's say every last one of them died. Those 15,000 who died.
Because they had Yerusha, went over.
But this number over here is this, the Pekudim. It says this number is being made now in the lifetime of Moshe. First of all, let me see, what about Moshe himself? And Elazar himself, they're alive, both of them. And again, 15,000 people survived. If that's the case, how come it says in the pasuk, "Lo ha-yo-ish"? There wasn't even one.
How many people were
Klal
Yisrael? Was there more than Shishim Ruba now?
Yes, 601. There was a little bit more.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, do the math. That divides the numbers.
The next pasuk clarifies it. Enforces that nobody is alive.
Ki Hashem. Ki Amar Hashem.
It's 3%.
Okay. All right. This needs more discussion. We got to stop now. I got to go now. Thank you for coming. Tomorrow there's no shir. It's a tinus. There's no shir tomorrow night.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you very much for coming and learning with me. Thank you very much.
Okay,
have an easy fast.
Rabbi Brian,
take
care of my business.
Okay, have an easy fast, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow, Mir Tzashem.
Good night. Tomorrow, you giving your shir in the morning?
In the morning, yes. In the morning, yes.
Okay, I'll do tonight. Easy fast.
You too, be well. Welcome, number 2783. Who is 2783? Okay, I'm signing off. Hesh, have a good night. Have an easy fast. See you tomorrow.